I just want to start with a little bit of humor. There's two kinds of people in church. So you figure out which one of these you may be. So this is a story about two wives who were doing their laundry in a laundromat, and they were both mending their husband's pants. And the one wife said, "My husband is so miserable. Nothing goes right at work. He can't find anything good on the television. Our home is a place of despair. When we go to church, the song leader is terrible. The pastor's sermons don't make any sense." The other wife said, "Well, my husband is so excited. He can't wait to go to church. He loves the sermons. We laugh all the time and enjoy our family." So it got very quiet in the laundry room as the women continued sewing their pants. One was patching the seat of the pants. The other was patching the knees. Did you get that? So two kinds of church people. Are we ones who are really praying and seeking what God would have and truly enjoy being a part of the family of God? Or are we ones that kind of just sit back and want to complain? I'm not here to preach about complaining, but just something to get us thinking as we get into the service this morning. I did want to pull up a picture real quick. Heather, if you'll pop up that picture. I have family that lives in Ohio, that's an uncle and aunt who pastor a church in Ohio, and a couple weeks ago we were able to actually be there and took some Chinese friends with us and got to preach in his church for the first time. And this is one of his granddaughters, Kalea, and I just want to tell you a little bit about this family because it's an illustration that kind of goes into the sermon this morning. But my aunt, probably 15 years ago, I don't remember how long ago it was now, but probably about 15 years ago or so, was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and pretty far along stage. And the prognosis wasn't all that great. And but I can tell you she's still alive today. She beat cancer. And but it was just neat to watch the joy in this family's life as they went through that. Their daughter, married a man named Roger, who 5 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, died of a very rare tongue cancer. Okay, so you're getting a theme here: cancer in this family's that's going on in this family. Then their daughter, the one that just lost her husband, was recently diagnosed a couple years ago, was diagnosed with a form of cancer. So she's dealing with that now. They have three, they're not as small anymore, but they have three kids. And so just to watch this family go through a situation like this, that's not the end. Their other daughter has Kalea, and this is her just last week, I think, or a couple weeks ago. And if you don't know who's holding her, that's LeBron James. They live in Ohio, and they actually had an opportunity. LeBron and some of the other Cavaliers were down for a fundraiser for one of the children's hospitals that they go to. And so they snapped this picture of Kalea. And you can't really see LeBron's smile, but he's got a big smile there. And you just have to wonder what she may have told him. Who knows? You know, it's been interesting to hear that conversation. But we were there. She was at the church 2 weeks ago when we were there. And even though I didn't tell you what she's battling. She's battling leukemia and has been battling it since her birth. And they have 6 more months, I think, of treatment. And the prognosis is pretty good for her, that actually over 90% of the kids that go through this are actually cured. But they still don't know what's going to happen in the future. There's other things that can come up. I was talking to her father about that, and they don't even know. There's still other things that could come up. But it was just so neat to see her, because we were there and they had a fellowship after the church, and she's just running around, joy, and just you can see the love of God all over this little girl. And so what we're going to talk about this morning is joy. And how do we have joy like James speaks in James 1. And in James 1 it says, "Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Consider it all joy. And I don't know about you, but I know sometimes it's tough when we go through difficult circumstances in life to consider it joy. But one of the things I know my uncle said, somebody asked him, he's a pastor, and somebody asked him, how do you make it through with going through all of these things with everybody in your family? He says, well, I guess God knew that my family could handle it. And what a great testimony. I mean, here's somebody that could easily be angry and blaming God and angry, but he knows that his family can handle it, and there's still joy in their lives, and it was just amazing to see. So what is joy? First, we got to answer that question, what is joy? And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalms 100, but I wanted to just kind of define kind of what is joy. You know, joy is an attitude of the heart. It's not an emotion. It's not happiness that depends on our circumstances and our moods. It is constant. It is constant. Where do we find it? One, we don't find it. It's not in unbelief. Okay? Voltaire, if you know who Voltaire was, he was an infidel of the most pronounced type, and he wrote, "I wish I had never been born." Okay? That was his quote. It's not found in pleasure. Lord Byron, who lived a life of pleasure probably just as much as anyone did, he wrote, "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone." It's not found in money. Jay Gould, one of the American millionaires, he had plenty of it. And when he was dying, he said, "I suppose I'm the most miserable man on earth." It's not found in position and fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both, and he wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret." And it's not found in military glory, because Alexander the Great, who we all know, he wept in his tent because he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." So what we want to look at today is the Ten Commandments of joy. And where is joy really found? We know, for us Christians, we know the answer is simply in Christ alone. And what a beautiful song that we get to sing sometimes is "In Christ Alone." And that's where we find true joy. Okay, God is our strength. So if you flip over to Psalms 100, we want to look at Psalms 100 and what it has for us, because in this psalm, it's only five verses, but I've pulled out 10 commandments, and we're calling them the 10 commandments of joy. So let's look at verse 1. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." If you look in other verses in Psalms, Psalms 95:1 says, "Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." Psalms 98:4, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy. Sing praises." Psalms 98:6, "With trumpets and the sound of the horn, shout joyfully before the King, the Lord." So we have the first command, verb, shout. And, you know, to shout means to loudly cry, expressing a strong emotion. Now, some of you are hoarse this morning because of shouting, right? I know if I would have been at the game, I was at home, but if I'd have been at the game, I probably would be a little more hoarse this morning. That's why I stayed home. So we don't have a problem shouting when it comes to football or any other sport or any other thing that you are, rock concert, you know, whatever it is. We don't have a problem with shouting. But why is it that we have so much trouble expressing emotion when it comes to what God has done in our lives? And I think we really need to grasp the concept of joy. Our COM, our China Outreach Ministries president, a couple years ago, he went off on a little sabbatical, and he went off on a little prayer retreat. His whole purpose was he wanted to go on this retreat and bring something back to our staff conference and our staff, that what does God have for us this year? And so he went off, spent that week alone with God, praying and seeking. And he came back and he kind of told us
That's it, God?
But all that he could bring back was, are we living in the joy of the Lord? And that the joy of the Lord should be our strength. And so that was our focus for that year, was just joy. What is joy? What does it mean? What does it mean to live life in joy? What does it mean to minister with joy? You know, I believe, you know, when we look at our world, when we look at our country, it's time for the church, it's time for Christians. And when I say the church, that's who I'm talking about, Christians. It's time for us. We have to stand up. We have to tell the world who God is and what he has done for them and for us. It's almost like, you know, we got to shout it. It's not just tell. You know, we have to shout joyfully to the Lord. And I don't mean just with our voices. I mean, do our lives shout with joy? Is there that excitement going on? If you go on to verse 2, our second command, worship the Lord with gladness. There's some translations that say serve. I think it's kind of interesting that the word worship and serve are being, you know, some translations say serve, some say worship. What does that tell us? Some people always want to know, what does worship mean? Well, to me, worship means to serve. And if you look at Psalms 95:2, it says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. You know, if you think about it, does God really need us? Does he need anything that we can offer? You know, there's a scripture that says our righteousness is filthy rags. It's not like God, he doesn't need us, okay? He doesn't need anything we have to offer. The beautiful thing is that he wants it. He wants us, okay? He doesn't need us. He wants us. We have the privilege of worshiping and serving the God of the universe, and we need to devote ourselves to his service and serve him completely. How do you serve him? Through our obedience to him. He deserves our worship, our service, and our praise, and our obedience. He deserves all of that and much, much more. If you keep going in verse 2, we get to command number 3. Come before him with joyful songs, it says. Come before him with joyful singing. Psalms 95:2 goes on to say, let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. So I don't want us to focus on the singing yet. We got to focus on the come before him. We have an opportunity, we have a privilege to come before the God of the universe. He wants us to come to him. I think sometimes we get so focused on, oh, I can't sing. It doesn't matter whether you can sing with your voice. You're singing with your heart. I think I've told this story before. We were in Toronto back when we were living in Alabama still. We were our family went on a mission trip to Toronto. And we're in Toronto, and we're at this church that, I don't know, there was only about 50 people, but I don't remember how many different nationalities were represented. But we were sitting next to a Chinese man as we were singing. And I looked over at him because I just kind of wanted to watch, because he could not sing at all. But boy, he was singing loud. And it was just, for me, it was just, I mean, of that whole trip, that's the thing I remember the most, is just seeing the joy that was coming out of this man who could not sing a tune at all, but he was not going to let that hold him down. And, you know, we need to be willing to come before him. It's not about our voice, because if you ever listen to anybody that's up here singing, our voices are never perfect. And those of us who play instruments, we're never perfect. It's not about that. It's about the fact that we can come before him. And how do we come before him? It says, come before him with joyful singing. So what's that mean? With singing and praise. Again, not as much concerned about your vocals as it is what's in your heart. Okay? What's in your heart? Because that's always singing. What's in your heart is always singing. And even if we don't feel that we can sing, we can still make a joyful noise before God, because he knows our heart and the motivation by which we sing. So you're willing to come before him with joyful singing. If you jump down to verse 3, we get to command number 4. I love this Psalms 100 because it's all verbs. So far we've had shout, we've had worship or serve, we've had come. Now verse 3, know. Know that the Lord is God. Psalms 46:10 says, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. There was a pastor that came and spoke at one of our conferences, and he said, after all, we are human beings, not human doings. So how many times do we really pause to reflect on the fact of who God is? God is the only true and living God. Amen? He's the only true and living God. He's infinitely perfect, self-existent, and self-sufficient. You know, if you don't realize it, we're living in a fast-paced world, and it's important for us to take time to be still. And I'm speaking to me more than I'm speaking to anyone, because I'm one that likes to do, and there's times where I need to pause. I need to make sure I'm stopping to reflect on who God is. We do a lot of striving in our lives as we like to keep ourselves busy. God will be exalted. He wants us to lift him up. When we truly understand who God is, we realize that all things are possible through him. So have we really taken the time to, do we truly know that we are serving the God of this universe? In verse 3, we continue. Command number 5. It is he who made us. It is he who made us. So the command 5, if we want to live a life of joy, to know that it is he who made us. Psalms 95:6, come let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. Psalms 119:73, your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. You know, when we help our Chinese friends and study the Bible together with them and things, some of the things we talk about is why were we created? Okay? God made us. Why? And the thing we have to remember, we were created to worship our Creator. We were created to bow down and to give him praise. And the neat thing is that God fashioned us. We are all unique. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad you're not like me. And I'm glad I'm not like you. He fashioned us. He made us unique. But he is the one who made us. Okay? So I know sometimes we can come in on a Sunday morning and maybe we've had a tough week. Maybe we've had a week where we're really struggling. Maybe we don't feel so special. That's understandable. I understand that. I know that happens. But we cannot forget the fact is we are his. He made us. And if that doesn't make you feel special, then you just don't quite grasp the truth of that statement. You know, we know that God loves us. And he wants what is best for us. In that same verse, it says, it is he who made us, and we are his. So that gets us to command number 6. Know that we are his people. Psalms 95:7. For he is our God. He is our God. We are his people. I was trying to think, you know, we always say, we are Penn State. I was trying to think, oh, that's too many syllables. We can't do that. We are his people. Because God made us, we are not our own, but are his. He has all the rights to who we are, and his will for us is that we would be devoted to his glory and honor. In other words, it's not about us. It's not about you and me. It's all about him. And the fact is, we are his people. He is our God. If you continue there in verse 3, it says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. The sheep of his pasture. So it gets us to command number 7. Know that we are the sheep of his pasture. In Psalms 95:7, it continues, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice. And in Isaiah 40:11 says, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them. Jesus spent a lot of time talking about sheep as well. And we'll look at that here at the end in John chapter 10. He talks a lot about sheep. So I did a little bit of research to try to understand what are some of the characteristics of sheep, because I know Jesus uses that analogy for us as well. So here's some characteristics of sheep. They're best known for their strong flocking and following instinct. Is that you and me? Are we known? The part about the, as I was studying for this, the part that kind of stood out to me, are we known as a follower, especially of Jesus Christ? Because if we call ourselves Christian, we are a follower of Jesus Christ. And so how is my following instinct? Second thing is they band together in large groups for protection. So they find their safety in numbers. When one sheep moves, the rest will follow, even if it's not a good idea. That sound any familiar today? Sheep are very social animals. They need to see each other. They need to see other sheep when they're grazing. Ensuring that sheep always have visual contact with other sheep will prevent excess stress. Okay, so these are some of the characteristics of sheep. I think it does sound a lot like us. We have some of those same instincts. And we'll look a little bit further at sheep when we get towards the end and we talk a little bit about what did Jesus say as he talked about sheep in some of his teaching. Verse 4 in Psalms 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We get to command 8, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Psalms 116:17, to you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. As long as we are receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. And whether you know it or not, we are all receivers of mercy. So as we are receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. When you think about it, what is it that even allows us to enter into the presence of God? It's mercy. In the Old Testament times, you think about it, they weren't even allowed. People were not even allowed to enter into the most holy of places in the temple courts. But now, because of Jesus Christ, we have direct access to God. We have direct access to him. So we are to enter his gates. I firmly believe that there are so many Christians today that are willing to stand outside the gates. The command is to enter into the gates. Enter in. We have to enter in. If all we want to do is stand outside, we are missing out on so much. Missing out on so much. The other thing, command 9, is to enter his courts with praise. We sung about that this morning when we sang, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Again, are we entering in? Are we willing to stand on the sidelines, or do we really want to enter in? Our praise of him must be in our heart and on our tongue. It's not either or. Our praise has to be on our hearts and on our tongue. And then when we get to the rest of verse 4, the last command says to give thanks to him and praise his name. Psalms 96:2 says, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Have you been blessed by God? Amen? I know I have. And he has blessed us so much, we must bless him in return. Whatever he does, we should be blessing him for it. We need to bless him when he takes away as well as when he gives. And we have to learn how to bless him in all circumstances of life. And then we get to verse 5 of Psalms 100, and to me is the whole reason why we can even do any of the previous 10 things we just talked about, is verse 5. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues through all generations. What a awesome verse, right? Truth spoken in one sentence. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues through all generations. Some other verses in Psalm 25:8 says, good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. Psalms 86:5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Psalms 106:1, praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. And in Psalms 119:90, your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You established the earth and it stands. We serve a great, great God. I know we sing a song a lot of times, good, good Father. We serve a great God, a good Father. And if we truly are believing and following the Lord Jesus Christ, he calls us to live a life of joy, no matter what the circumstances that we may face. Because no matter what the circumstance is, we don't ever get away from that truth, that the Lord is good. I know sometimes it's easy for us to not think that as we go through difficult circumstances. I know for my uncle and his family, it would be very easy for them to go, really? Look at my family. He hasn't been so good. Okay? But that's not who they are. They're still praising God, even in the middle of cancer and some of them for death and everything else that's going on. They're still praising him because they know God is good all the time. You know, we say that, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. All the time, no matter what we're facing. You know, as we close part of the service here, I just wanted to kind of just reflect more on the sheep as well, because we got to go back to John chapter 10 and to really focus on what Jesus was saying. And I think for those who we follow him, we believe, we trust, one way that we know we can live a life of joy is what Jesus taught us. So if you go, it's John chapter, we're not going to read all of this, John chapter 10, 1 through 27, as you see all of this, but I'm just going to pull out a few of the things that Jesus said as he described the sheep. He says, the sheep hear his voice, talking about the shepherd, and he calls and leads them out. Okay? He leads them out. Again, have to go back to that following instinct. And I know for me, that was one that really hit me hard as I was preparing, was do I truly follow? Do I have an instinct to follow? I think that's, do I have an instinct to follow? That's the first thing that I want to do. I want to follow. Sometimes I know for me, I'm like, do I really want to go there? Okay. But we have to be willing to follow no matter what. He also said the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Okay. That's the only reason why the sheep follow. They know his voice. Okay. Do we truly know God's voice? Do we truly know who God is? He goes on. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Okay? Not only do we know his voice, but he knows us. He knows us. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Does that not give you joy in the fact to know that God knows you? Okay? And God is good. I give eternal life to them. They will never perish. I give eternal life. They will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. So those are some of the things that Jesus, as he's teaching them and using the analogy of the sheep, those are some of the things that he told those who were hearing this message. And so for you and me, we have the same. Jesus is telling us the same things. Okay. So if you just quickly go back through these Ten Commandments and really just looking at the verbs, you get number one, you have shout. Okay, shout. I know you may be hoarse this morning, but what about on Wednesday morning? Are you hoarse? Because you've been shouting about who God is and what he's done in your own life. The second verb was to serve or worship. Serve the Lord with gladness. Worship the Lord with gladness. Third one was come. Come. God calls us to come. Come before him with joyful singing. Fourth one was know. And we had several knows. What are we supposed to know? Know that the Lord is God. Know that it is he who made us. Know that we are his people. Know that we are the sheep of his pasture. So four different things there we were supposed to know. And then last two, one had enter, 8 and 9 was enter. Enter his courts, enter his gates. And then the last one was give. Give. I didn't even think about this till now as I was going through this. when we think about somebody who comes to Christ, I know as I've seen people come to Christ, one of the first things they want to do is to tell others, shout. They want to tell others about what God has done for them. And then they begin to serve. They begin to serve. As they're doing that, they're coming to God. They're coming before him. And as they grow in their faith, they're learning more and more. They're getting to know who God is, know who they are. Okay, and I think the more we get to know, the more we get to enter into his gates, and then finally to give. So if we truly want to live a life of joy, I think this is one of the things. These are the Ten Commandments that we just have to drill into our head to understand, okay, the who we are and who we serve. And we always get down to the very last part of that chapter, for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. We're going to close the service with two songs yet, but one of them is, we'll call it our song of response, but it's a praise song. It's entitled, Great Are You, Lord. And I don't know where you are this morning in your walk with him. I pray that every one of us here has begun that walk with him. But if you haven't, I'm excited to tell you that he's there waiting. He's waiting on you to come before him and to be willing and want to enter into the life that he promises to give. For some of us, maybe we've been living Christian life for a long time, but are we truly living a life of joy? When people see, I can tell you right now, when you go out into the world, you see it all the time. There's many people that aren't living with joy. And I can tell you that some Christians were not living with joy. I can't say I do this 100% of the time, but I think God understands that. But do we truly live with joy? When people see us, do they go, wow, that guy must be having a great day? Or are they like, well, I don't want to spend much time with them. So how is our witness? So as we get ready to sing this last song, I'm going to pray first, but as we get ready to sing this last song, or the song of response, I hope and pray that you can sing this song and sing it from the bottom of your heart. Sing it out loud, because the fact is we serve a great God, and he is good all the time. And I just hope that you can be able to sing this song with arms lifted high and just be able to praise him. So let me pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for just this opportunity we have to be in your house, to be able to come together, to hear your word. And even in a midst of five short verses, there's just so much truth that you can teach to us in the middle of the book of Psalms. And I just thank you so much for just the opportunity we have to be here and to enjoy each other and to enjoy being in your presence. And Lord, as we sing this song of response this morning, I just pray that if there's somebody here that has not begun this walk with you, I pray that they would truly understand how much you want that for them and want that with them, that you want to walk with them. And Lord, I pray for us too, that those of us who have been walking with you and continue to walk with you, I just pray that we would be living a life of joy. Because I know that that's one thing you use to draw people to you. I know probably many of us can think of strong Christians that we knew that went through a difficult situation, but yet still had the joy of the Lord was their strength. And how much that spoke to us. I thank you for putting those people in my life the way that you have down through the years. So I just pray that as we sing this song this morning, that we would be able to sing it from our heart to understand it. You are the great, great God, and we love you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.